This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, you're listening to The Morning Run with Wong Xiaoning and Lin Mark. It is now 7:36 in the morning, Monday the 12th of October. And in about half an hour, we're going to have our breakfast grill. Lin, tell us more about this.
Yes, so the breakfast grill this morning is going to be an interesting one. Khoo Swee Chong will be speaking with Professor Edmund Terence Gomez, who's the Professor of Political Economy at University of Malaya, as well as Dr. Cheong Ki Chok, Senior Fellow at the Institute of China Studies, also at the University of Malaya. Now, China is widely known for its checkbook diplomacy, where its economic strength is deployed in large infrastructure projects around the world, often resulting in the imprisonment of the target country. So we'll be exploring the state-to-state relationship between China and Malaysia, as well as its increasing FDI into Malaysia on the breakfast grill later on this morning. So that's happening after the 8 o'clock news.
Yeah, in the meantime, let's take a look at Asian equity markets because it's clearly been a roller coaster year. We've had COVID-19 and geopolitics creating a volatile environment, especially for equities. So almost a K-shaped economy and stock market as well. So there's tech and healthcare stocks which have skyrocketed, while hospitality and aviation stocks have corrected sharply to unprecedented levels. Now, the ride isn't over as we still have the fourth quarter to go with a lot of variables in play. And of course, the major event that everyone's been watching and will watch will be the US elections in 3 weeks' time and whether that outcome will be contested. Now, the question, of course, is how might this impact Asian markets in the fourth quarter and beyond? So joining us on the line this morning is Lorraine Tan, Regional Director of Equity Research in Asia at Morningstar. For a quick take on where Asian markets are heading for this quarter and maybe beyond. Now, Lorraine, does the outcome of the US election change your relatively positive view on Asian equity markets?
Hi, good morning. I think there are a few things that are being baked in from the US elections. Obviously, if President Trump is reelected, I mean, we can sort of expect a fairly status quo sort of situation. But if Vice President Biden is elected into the presidency, then I think what the market is expecting is a little bit more of a reasoned approach to international relations, for example. And I think the main thing that affects Asia is obviously the Sino-US relations. So if that means that there's a more targeted approach to certain constraints that the U.S. wants to put into China, then we could expect that more so under a Biden presidency. So in that respect, we could have a little bit less of a uncertainty that would be baked in, I assume. Having said that, we still think the U.S. Is going to impose keep a number of restrictions, especially in terms of the tech space.
And Lorraine, but we look at the polls at this moment, right? Biden, I think the most recent one, he has a 12-point lead. So in a way, hasn't the market already factored in or priced in a Biden win?
I think more recently, yes, because we've seen some flow through into Asian stocks, or rather relatively more so the Chinese names at this point in time. So I think that's where you're seeing it more so than you would, let's say, in the overall market. I don't think that's necessarily true for some of the names outside of the Chinese issues. I think one thing we need to take note of is obviously China is undergoing is leading the global recovery from COVID anyway. But the other thing to watch out for, obviously, is if the COVID situation lingers longer globally, especially in the US, for example, or Europe, that could actually be a continued drag on the overall markets because debt levels, unemployment rates will continue to increase. And I think that's more still for us, it's more of a key issue going forward.
So bearing all this in mind, what sectors do you actually begin to see value emerging?
I think the thing about it is there are obviously, some of the cyclical issues, those that are obviously naturally hit when economic cycles are bad. I think those are the ones that we're hoping to see some rotation into by the market because there is still some value there. And I think it's probably good to pick certain, there are certain industrial names, for example, that we think are doing fairly well. but the market doesn't have, they haven't rotated into favor yet. Obviously, some of those names are transport related. At this stage, we probably prefer engineering companies, let's say, over pure airlines themselves. Airlines, we think, will take a bit longer to recover. The other sector that's doing okay, or we expect to do okay in the mid to long term, would be the energy space. Again, to be very selective here, I think when we talk about Asia, we're talking mainly about integrated oil companies or upstream oil and gas drilling companies. Those are the ones that we prefer at this stage, because we do think that once the world recovers from the coronavirus, that the long-term equilibrium price point for Brent crude oil is at $60 a barrel, not at $40. So we think at that level there would be some, certain companies are relatively undervalued right now. The one that we like at the moment is CNOOC, which is CNOOC Limited, which is a Chinese upstream oil and gas driller.
And what sectors would you avoid? Perhaps maybe they are really facing structural issues, even if there is a vaccine found.
That one is more difficult to say. I think it's more of a fact that we got to watch out for companies that are overgeared, for example, that are facing cash flow constraints. I don't think for example, some people are saying, oh, you know, the work from home situation is going to impact the office space or the shopping malls. I don't think that's necessarily true in Asia because number one, a lot of homes, especially when you're talking city states like Hong Kong or Singapore, or even cities like Tokyo, it's difficult to work from home because of a lack of space, for one thing. So we do still think that the office aspect is still going to remain prevalent in Asia for the most part. Shopping malls, Asia is still relatively, in terms of shopping mall space to the individual consumer, we're still relatively small in Asia compared to the US. US definitely may have had an excess capacity of retail malls, but we don't see that same situation in Asia. It will be true that I think a lot of shops will pick where they want to be originally based on location and to have as their flagship location. And that's going to favor certain malls. So I think at this stage, as far as the coronavirus impact structurally in Asia, we think it's probably best to be selective in that regard, in terms of real estate, in terms of certain service sectors within the industrials and transportation space.
All right. Thank you for your time. That was Lorraine Tan, Regional Director of Equity Research in Asia, with Morningstar, giving us her views on what to expect for the fourth quarter. And a lot of it riding on the fact of who would be the president of the United States. Although I think markets have already begun to price it in because Biden's lead in the U.S. has risen to 12 points. I think almost, three times that in the last 2016 elections. But you really, really never know until November 3rd. And I think it's probably going to boil down to how Florida votes. But in the meantime, I think her point is true. Some of the sectors which are unloved at the moment, for example, retail, commercial space, might actually come back in vogue again because it's a different kind of dynamics within Asia. I mean, working from home for some of us is not possible. What do you think, Lynn?
Yeah, I think I was interested in her point that we know that different regions have different means of operating, right? And in countries like Japan, which she highlighted, Hong Kong, which is a special administrative region, real estate is at such a premium that a lot of houses and apartments are really, really tiny, you know, little shoeboxes. So if you have a family of, say, you know, a family of four, and if children are home from school, if both parents have to work from home, it's going to be extremely tight. So it's going to operate a little bit differently here than it is in the US. But I think also her point that a Biden administration may not also necessarily be extremely friendly to China is one that we can't forget, because the Democrats have also been quite hawkish towards China during this campaign period.
Yeah, maybe just on different things. But up next, we'll be speaking to Charles Santiago, the Member of Parliament for Klang, on what's happening on the ground there. Stay tuned for that. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.